With a country divided, the republic at risk, and morality being redefined, it's time to gather round the campfire, get back to basics, and spark the revival that this country so desperately needs. This is the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron.
I wanted to talk with you about something that's infinitely important, and that is the subject of forgiveness. And if you've been following with us here at the American Campfire Revival, where we talk over and over and over how our hope is not in the laws that we make as a nation. Our hope is not in someone turning the economy around. Our hope is not in who governs us, but in the power of God working in the hearts of His people. And when we can get things right personally and in our homes and in our families, then we'll have the character and be granted the opportunity to begin governing our communities and to begin to heavenize our states and to begin to bring blessing to an entire nation that can be a blessing to the whole world. But it's got to start in my heart and in my home. And so we've been talking about this trinity of sin, repentance, and forgiveness, if I could put it that way, that leads to, when we understand those three things, leads to healing and it leads to life. When we fail to understand any of these three things, it causes pain and suffering and death. And so tonight, I want to talk about the most exciting of all of these concepts, and that is forgiveness. When do we forgive? How do we forgive? Why should we forgive? And I've been so thankful for my friend Jay Younce at Everyday Talk 24/7. And if you don't subscribe to his YouTube channel, you're missing out. I could just say that because he is like a personal Gandalf of wisdom to me. He is a well of continual insights and knowledge and understanding of God's Word, and I would recommend that you go and subscribe to his YouTube channel at Everyday Talk 24/7. He gives a video every morning and every evening, and I've been grabbing notes from those videos to share with you today. So we talked a couple days ago about sin and understanding that sin is a violation of God's law. That's what makes it wrong. No matter how much I don't like the law of gravity, which is one of God's physical laws, if I choose to violate that law will break me. And if I choose to violate God's moral laws, those moral laws will break me as well. It'll break my marriage. It'll break my home, my reputation, and my legacy to my children. We also talked about sin as a violent act toward other people that causes real injury. And the closer you are to the person you're sinning against, the deeper the wounds. We talked about repentance being the right response to sin and what we need to look for before forgiveness is granted. And repentance is a humble, heartfelt attitude that is willing to turn away from the sin in obedience to God and willing to accept the consequences for the sin we have committed. And sometimes those consequences include civil penalties. Sometimes it includes a long time of rehabilitation and intensive care and understanding and submitting to accountability and other kinds of dramatic remedies to change my heart and to allow for healing to take place in somebody else. And only then are we able to get to the treasure of forgiveness. You may be here tonight and I don't know, you may be feeling like you need forgiveness for something you've done, for a sin that you've committed against somebody. Maybe you know that there is hidden sin going on in your life for which you need to repent, but you're scared to repent because you know it's going to destroy the trust with the person you love. But if you do not, the Bible says, he who conceals his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes it will find mercy. If you want forgiveness, we've got to go through the door of repentance, as scary as it is, to confess your sin and be willing to accept the consequences. It's the only way we find the treasure of forgiveness. And so that's the order: sin and understanding its impact, repentance, a wholehearted, humble, obedient turning away and willingness to accept whatever the consequences to make it right, and then forgiveness. And all of these things, God tells us, because sin and repentance and forgiveness is so emotional, it's tied to so much anxiety and pain and suffering and fear, that it needs to be ruled by love and governed by the fruit of the Spirit. And if you read the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Compassion needs to guide the process. And the fruit of the Spirit, that is the fruit that is produced by the Spirit of God in my heart, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. We need to deal with sin and repentance with patience and with kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We need to let that fruit of the Spirit control us as we're going through this process. Otherwise, we're inclined to just react based off of our feelings and our impulses, which can really mess things up and make things even worse. So here's a great definition of forgiveness. You ready? If you're writing stuff down, write this down. Forgiveness is a promise not to hold someone's sin against them, to release them from the burden of that sin. Now, this is not an erasing of consequences. This doesn't cancel out the need for repentance. And repentance is in fact a prerequisite for receiving forgiveness. And if you are being asked to forgive someone, what you want to be looking for is genuine, heart-rending repentance that we talked about last night. And if you're not sure what repentance looks like, listen to the message from last night and we go into it in detail. Forgiveness does not cancel out the relational consequences that must be accepted through repentance and the willingness to submit to the rehabilitation process. Forgiveness doesn't cancel any of that out. Forgiveness is not just a get out of jail free card, as my friend Jay likes to say, where you think you're just, hey, I asked you for forgiveness, and so I'm free from all the consequences. No, that's not how it works. How do I know it's not how it works? Because God gives us the model for forgiveness in His Word, the Bible. And that's where we always go. That's our plumb line for truth. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32 says this: be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving each other just as God in Christ forgave you and forgave me. So there's the model. There's the heavenly model for forgiveness: being kind and compassionate to one another and forgiving one another just the way God forgave us. Now, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful. There's no words to express the gratitude that I have that God was willing to forgive me when I didn't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. He gave me what I don't deserve. That's called grace. He gave me mercy instead of giving me what I deserve, which is judgment and punishment for my wickedness, selfishness, pride, greed, and sin. He gave me what I don't deserve, and that's compassion and kindness and forgiveness. Isn't that beautiful? That's what I need. That's what we all need.
Hey guys, it's Kirk here. Did you know that another option to traditional insurance even exists out there? I get that it may come as a surprise, since we're so conditioned to think traditional insurance is our only option, but that's simply not true. My family has been using Christian Healthcare Ministries over the last several years, and I cannot recommend them enough to other like-minded believers looking to do things differently than what we've been told to do. CHM is the faith-based alternative to insurance. And most importantly, with CHM, we know that our money is going to help other fellow Christians when they're in need. And this is how we like to steward our dollars when it comes to healthcare. Are you tired of your healthcare the same old way and want to do things the better way? I highly recommend you start by checking out CHM and see if this is an option that could work for your family's healthcare. It does for ours. It's not harder, but it's different in the best way. Learn more today by visiting chministries.org/Kirk Cameron. Again, that's chministries.org/Kirk Cameron.
Now, one of the misunderstandings about forgiveness is that forgiveness is not unconditional. And a lot of times within the family of faith, we've heard this, that God's love and mercy and forgiveness is unconditional. Well, that's actually not true at all. Let me suggest that you think about the prime condition that was necessary for God to show you and me His love and mercy and forgiveness. There's a huge condition. It's the giant elephant in the room. And that is, Jesus sacrificed His life and shed His blood in order to pay the price for our sins so that we could be pardoned, justified, forgiven, and reconciled to God. Apart from the condition of Christ dying on the cross, there is no forgiveness. So God's love has a huge condition, and that condition was paid for by God Himself when He became a man and died on the cross. So don't buy into this tendency to think that forgiveness is just so cheap that it's free. No, it costs the precious blood of Christ to make it available. It is hugely conditional on something that we could not even provide for ourselves. God provided it for us. And forgiveness is also conditioned upon repentance. And Jesus even said this. He said, when He was talking to His disciples, and they said, well, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? And Jesus said, if he repents, you forgive him. And they said, well, what if he sins against me again, like seven times? And Jesus said, even if he sins against you seven times in a day and repents, you must forgive him. And so you see, the model that God gives us for forgiveness, both with God, hinges upon genuine repentance, which we talked about last night, and the prerequisite for forgiveness with one another hinges upon repentance. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Depends upon repentance made possible by the blood of Christ, and He forgives fully, which is He promises not to hold our sin against us and releases us from the burden of sin. So check this out. Forgiveness is never a manipulative tool to further control the person who has been sinned against, and it is not a tool to avoid consequences. You know, sometimes people will say this, well, I asked you to forgive me, and so you got to forgive me. The Bible says so. If you don't forgive me, well then, the Bible says God's not going to forgive you. No, hold on. The Bible is neither a get-out-of-jail-free card, I'm sorry, forgiveness is neither a get-out-of-jail-free card where I'm free from consequences because of my sin. No. And the Bible, forgiveness is not a weapon and a tool to use to avoid consequences and further manipulate and control the person you've sinned against. Forgiveness is only granted according to appropriate repentance and a willingness to deal with the specific sin's impact to damage the person who has been injured. This is so important. I can't emphasize this enough. And if someone is genuinely broken and contrite, humble to the heart, broken at the core, confessing and forsaking their sin, not minimizing it, not blame shifting, not trying to make themselves out as the victim, but understanding that they've sinned against God and they have caused damage to the person. Maybe that's to you. Or maybe you're the person who needs to acknowledge that you've damaged someone deeply and come to a place of genuine repentance and willingness to accept consequences and submit to accountability and spiritual and civil authorities and those consequences. That's all part of the repentant process that will ultimately bring about healing and rehabilitation, both for the perpetrator, the one who is sinning against another, and healing and rehabilitation for the person who has been injured. If that is met, then God calls us to accept that repentance and grant full forgiveness on the basis that God has also forgiven us. I hope that you don't mistake any of my seriousness about sin as self-righteousness. I'm the worst sinner I know. I can say that with honesty because I know the depth of my own heart, and I understand the nuances of my selfishness better than I understand anyone else's because I live with me 24/7. And what I've learned is to take sin seriously because it's worse than we think, and it damages others. When I sin against others, it damages them worse than I think. And if you've been sinned against by someone close to you, it has damaged you worse, I bet, than that person even realizes, doesn't it? And so the best thing I can do is to hit sin hard so that I acknowledge my need for full, complete, heartfelt repentance, understanding that there's nothing I can do on my own to earn forgiveness or make things right, and I'm fully dependent upon God granting me forgiveness and someone else granting me kindness and compassion that I don't deserve. And being willing to accept the consequences. I've been sinned against. I've also sinned against people. And God calls you and me to forgive on the basis of repentance and the high price that God paid on the cross, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the person who sinned against us. And again, this doesn't mean that it's canceling out consequences. But it means that you and I should no longer have malice toward that person that sinned against us. We should not hate their guts. We should not wish that they burn in hell. God calls us to have goodwill toward them, the same way he has goodwill toward us, even though we've sinned against him and his children. It means I need to turn to someone and say, I'm willing to have a new day with you. I'm not going to hold this over your head. I'm going to trust God and move into the future with you. Or maybe not with you if the consequences merit separation and divorce. And there are those exceptions that Jesus himself gave of sexual immorality, infidelity, where divorce is permitted. In fact, it's often a remedy for the injured victim of a person involved in deep patterns of sin and immorality over a long period of time, or the sin of abandonment, as Paul mentions in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. And these are serious. And I know that there are always nuances to all of these things, and that's why it's so important that we need to always find ourselves at the foot of the cross, remembering that God took care of the sin problem and He has forgiven us when we come to Him in humility and repentance, and we're to extend that same forgiveness to those who come to us in repentance. I bet this has brought up a lot of questions. I bet that there's things that you would just love to bring up, or maybe you want to scream and shout through the screen that you're looking at right now because of the things that have happened to you. But just know that the heavenly pattern is sin, repentance, and then forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, and it's not a weapon to use to further control people. It is the gift that we don't deserve, that does not cancel out consequences, but allows us to have a new day and allows us to move forward without bitterness and hatred and reviling someone who has sinned against us. And we don't have to live in the past. Our failures are not final, and the past does not define us. God offers us new beginnings. We've just got to do it His way. Well, this has been very helpful for me to study this subject. I hope it has been for you too. I hope you have a chance to go to the website at AmericanCampfireRevival.com and check out all of the resources that I have for you there, especially the American Covenant book and the home training course. I want you to start a campfire at your house. I want you to invite people over. I want you to talk about this stuff. I want you to start conversations. I want you to pray together so that we can see revival in our hearts, in our homes, and in our land. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you for listening to the American Campfire Revival Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to learn more and join the movement, visit kirkcameron.com.